Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. Thank you for being with me. And this program is being recorded for November 22nd, 2020. If you're my age, and I'm sure most of you are not, and you're ancient and old like I am, this 22nd day of November is a very sad one. It brings about a lot of very sad memories about the assassination of John Kennedy. I remember where I was. I remember what was happening. I was very, very young. And I was, 12 years old, I think, when that occurred. And I remember having a clarity about the whole thing, not a very happy one. And I would ask myself, why? Well, today I decided to do why emails that I've received in the last 4 or 5 weeks. People asking various questions about why did this happen, why did that, da-da-da-da-da-da. So I thought today would be a good day to do that. I'm still saddened by the whole thing. There are so many things that strike you when you're young and something like this happens. To witness a murder right in front of your eyes, and then on a Friday, and then on Sunday to watch Lee Harvey Oswald get gunned down right on TV. There was the loss of a tremendous innocence in this country, a loss of tremendous innocence within people. And we started to really recognize and realize the corruptness of human nature and how far it will go to do what it does for the sake of its righteous survival. So today we'll look at some questions. I'm not going to probably answer them in the traditional way, and I'm sure I'll get some backlash for it, but the reason I do these radio programs is to give a voice to the other side of someone like myself and maybe some of you who see things in a different light. And I hope I'm able to be of service to you, okay? And that's my motive. I have no real political agenda here except love. First question comes from Claire. Claire does not tell me where she lives. What are the benefits to meditation? I have tried many, many times, and I just don't understand why I can't do it. Maybe some of us are not meant to, she says, Claire. You know, your last little statement there, maybe some of us aren't meant to. That probably is a very accurate statement. It isn't that, you know, it's in the ethers, the stars, that you're not meant to. It's just not in your interest, not in the genre of your life, not in the meaning of your livingness. It's just not. There are many people who have passed through my life who I've taught meditation to, tried to help, and it is very hard to get them to understand meditation, much less understand the importance of it. You ask me, what are the benefits to meditation? Well, why would you want to know that? I mean, it would make your teeth whiter, your hair less, more manageable, your makeup more desired. I don't understand what you're looking for. We meditate not because of benefits. I really want you to understand that. Years ago, I listened to these meditation teachers from back east, and I know who they were. And I even studied under one for a while, and they were talking about the benefits of it and trying to get people interested. If you have to swing a carrot in front of your face to do something, to tell you, you should do this because the benefits of meditation are whiter teeth, manageable hair, and a more youthful appearance. If that's what you're thinking, people nowadays do not understand that meditation is something you practice all throughout your life, not only in a formal sit, but the way you live, the lifestyle you have, and it is considered the occult. Occult. Can you believe that? Well, I'm sure you can. If you really look at meditation for what it is not the occult. A cult is a group of people that come together to worship or to deify a certain person. So religion is a cult. Politics is a cult. But in meditation, we don't deify anything or anyone. The reason we meditate is subjective to the person who is able to go beyond their ideas, their ideals. They want to go beyond their body. They realize the futility of living in a world just kind of butt naked with bias and hate and fear, and just trying to get through the grit of hate and fear and bias. The person who meditates is one who is looking for harmony, compassion, forgiveness. They are looking for a deeper meaning that they can't explain or cannot be given to them through philosophy or religion or politics. You have to be of a certain ilk, Claire. And the way I'm hearing your little email here is that isn't something you're akin to yet. It takes a lot of lifetimes, many lifetimes, hitting my head up against the wall of my own futility before I ever got the gist of what it meant to meditate. We don't meditate for benefits. We meditate for awakening. We meditate to experience inner awakening. We meditate to get beyond the mind that is very, very prevalent in us, that wants hate and fear to reign supreme. We meditate because it is something we feel, quote unquote, led to do from the heart, authentic heart, not the emotional heart. Now, you either have that or you don't. And in the world we're living in now, meditation is considered a relaxation technique, something to center your mind and make it more, shall we say, what they like to call present, which is ridiculous. And then with that, they learn how to live and get what they want and be more relaxed. And that's as far as it goes. But that's not as far as it goes. Meditation is a clarity of consciousness, and it brings about the depth of a very valuable thing, most valuable thing in life, which is to have the ability, the consciousness to recognize love, to have an appreciation for it, no, to immerse yourself in it. The benefits of that, I don't know. I don't even think like that anymore. When I was younger, I probably did. But now, through years and years of practice and realizing the futility of my own human efforts and what kind of fool am I truly realize that the beauty of meditation is the meditation itself. It brings about a simple beauty, a simple mind, a mind that sees beyond the confines of conventional thinking and offers a wisdom that exceeds any kind of knowledge a person could accumulate during the course of their lifetime. So, Claire, I don't know what to say to you. People like you, I have seen in the course of my lifetime, you draw to yourself very bad teachers who only can offer technique, but not that that spirit of meditation, that quantified spirit of love. They just draw to themselves what, you know, the kind of person who protracts effort, and tries to show technique. And that's as far as it'll ever go with it. You know, there is a small technique to meditation, very small. It is simply to watch, to learn how to watch, to be in third person and just to watch without judgment or bias, to drop, in my case, the Gregory, for you, the Claire, and just witness what is within. And if you are willing to do that, much can happen. If you are not willing to do that, if you have to have some tangible thing that you accomplish through meditation that is valuable to the state of your own bias, then nothing can be done. I can't help you. So until you are really serious about meditation, until you become aware of the gravitas of it, the substance of it, all you're going to do is wonder why you can't do it. And believe me, there is more to living outside of our meditation so we can meditate than even the meditation technique itself. It's all different. It's all very important. How you live in the course of your day will define your meditation. And if you live in the course of your day wanting, desiring, getting, having, hating, it'll be very difficult to go into meditation. Hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The idea of meditation for most people is really strange. It's that hippie thing that people think meditators do, that we do, that hippie thing. Like, what does that mean, hippie? They think we're, I don't know. I really don't know. I think people assume, you know, the 60s thing, Haight-Ashbury, that whole thing. And it's really not like that at all. Whatever happened to those people? Yeah, I kind of wonder. Next question comes from Thomas. And let me look. Let me see. He is from the Midwest, he says. Why were we created? Did God not have anything better to do? LOL, LOL. You're assuming that you were created individually. I love the way you said that. Didn't God have nothing better to do? Oh, that was so clever. And to, you see, to my way of thinking, that is really very funny, because it's like, wow, well, I have nothing to do and got nothing going on here. Let's create these flawed human beings and watch them kill each other and stumble all over themselves and make mayhem, and then they can beg and beseech me to bring about good in their life. And for the most part, I won't, but maybe for a few, who knows? That kind of attitude, that human thing we have going that we think is so important. Listen to me. Here's the deal. I have no idea why we were created in the biblical sense. I have a very strong sense of impression as to why I'm here. But that's different. If you look at the whole thing, it could be like we came from this great big star. Think of it this way. Great big star, huge. And all of a sudden, this huge meteor hits it, and the star bursts open, and all of the fragments of that star fly all over the universe. And we are those fragments, and we form other stars and sometimes even other planets. And we get together through consciousness, through the inertia of our own being, what we're all about, what we're prone to, and we find ourselves in different worlds doing different things. You could think of it that way. That's really rough and crude, but that's my answer. It's the simplest one I can offer. Everyone who is here on this planet is important. Everyone who is here on this planet probably has been here before in worlds like this, if not this world. A lot of it has to do with karma. A lot of it has to do with the way we have lived, how we are, what we have, quote-unquote, evolved into or devolved into, depending on who you are. Most people are only relating themselves to their body. The confines of that body are immense. The confines do not lead to awakening in any way, shape, or form. If you really look at the confines of the mind and how conventional it is, all it is thinking about is self-preservation through self-righteousness. Combine the two together, you have the average person. Why were we created? I don't think we were created like most people think. I think we are an evolution, and the evolution you and I are in is very limited and very mundane, very primitive, lives off of primitive ideas and beliefs and theories and things like that. It's a mess. We're just a mess. So when you start to think about the way, the truth, and the light, there is none. How much light can live in a person like me? You have to ask yourself that. Thomas, how much light can live within you? How much tone can live within you? How much resonation and harmony of love can live within you? How much? Not much. Everything has to pass through my human bias, my human beliefs, my ideas, my ideals, my rights, my wrongs, my goods, my bads, all of that stuff. And the more I get involved in that and think in terms of that, the more I miss. I miss love. It is love that is the reason for our creation. And it goes way beyond the ideas of emotionality. The person who lives emotionally will find they have a very difficult time with reality. That I can tell you. So if I'm in the process of just being human, I'm going to be in the process of my instincts, and I will live in my human instincts, and that's as far as I will ever go. That is the meaning and the significance of our life. So that would be terrible to relegate my life to all of that, but that's what people do. Why were we created? I think it is an important question to ask. I don't think seeking the answer is very fruitful, because the human mind can only go so far. And then it drops off the planet here, just drops off the cliff, and it can't go any further. You need meditation. You need to practice the depths of meditation to go beyond the ideas, the ideals of meditation. The ideas and ideals of your human nature, all of it. There is far more to us than what we believe there is. And that's all I can say to you about it. The need for rationalization of meditation, of the depths of meditation, the need for explanation, the need for all of that is, in my opinion, retarded. I was one of those people in the beginning of my life. But as I went to India, as I did the things I did, I realized that, Greg, this is stupid. Just practice meditation. Just practice. And that is all that's necessary. And then you find out many things, but none of them can you tell people about because there's no language for it, Thomas. There is no language, none whatsoever. It isn't something you can think. It is something that is. And learning to live with the is a very important thing. It's an art. There you go. I hope that helped. Please forgive me for my explanation. Namaste. Really start to look at it and you realize. All right, so the next question comes from Thomas again in a P.S. So I thought I'd take it in two. He asked then, what are we here for? It makes no sense to me, he says. Loved it. Thomas, I would love to sit down with you one day and chit-chat. We are here to spiritually awaken. We are here to awaken. That's an easy one. But what does that mean? Exactly. What are we talking about awakening? That is where it becomes subjective. And that's where a lot of people go wrong. They think in terms of following an idea or following an ideal. And living is not about following an idea or an ideal. It is about following the way of the heart. It is about following love. It is about love itself. And in that love, in itself and of itself, we do find significance. It is only through love that we find significance. So think of it this way, Thomas, in everything you do, in everything you make effort towards, work, family, friends, eating, cleaning your house, doing your yard work, whatever you do, everything you do, you're either working towards the authenticity of love or you are working away in your emotionality and strengthening the emotions that make you and I very ignorant. There you are. So this is why you see people doing things out of pride and not out of love. You see people doing things deliberately to acquire, get what they want, but not out of generosity and loving kindness. And on top of all of that, we make enemies in this world, and we make a lot of them. You don't know who they are, but they're there. And they're there in the form of the invisible, of people who are in the collective with you. We formulate little societies in the collective, and we pod ourselves in those societies, and we make these pods very important. We make them essential to our identity, and then we lose it all of the potential of our life, because we're so busy trying to live for acceptance, affection, and adoration. And this goes on and on and on to nauseam. But how are you going to get anyone to understand that? Not many people do. So there you are. We are here to awaken. And you can't really just say that to people like I just did and get them to understand it, because it makes no sense to them, because they gather all of their hopes and dreams and beliefs in their little brain from their human heart, and they aggrandize it with affection and all of that other stuff, and then they miss the meaning of their life, and it just goes on and on and on in a very vicious circle, and nothing is achieved, and there is basically no awakening in most people. I'm out of here. I hope that helped you, Thomas. Yeah, you and I need to sit down and chit-chat one day. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.